We're finishing up the book of Jonah tonight. Lord willing, in a couple of weeks, I believe we'll begin with the book of Ecclesiastes. Just going through a chapter at a time. This is an amazing chapter in God's Word. In fact, the way in which the Lord interacts with Jonah in this chapter shows his great wisdom. He gives him an object lesson. It's a lesson in show and tell from the living God. And he's revealing to Jonah his own heart and the way that Jonah is thinking about his character. He does this through these object lessons in order to show Jonah the way that he is different from the living God. The contrast between Jonah and the Lord is shown here. But what's even more profound is how the Lord is interacting with an angry prophet who is angry at his own character, how he interacts with him, and the questions that he asks show us the character of God in profound ways. Remember that the Lord asked Jonah if he did well to be angry, and then verse 5 continues. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. And he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 80,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" The precious word of the living and the true God. Jonah goes out of the city. We're not told that he answered the Lord when he asked him that first question in verse 4, "Doest thou well to be angry?" He just goes out of the city. You remember that Jonah said in his message that he was given from the Lord, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So Jonah, recognizing that it's 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown, uses that time, even though he's seen the repentance of the Ninevites, he's seen the Lord being gracious to them, uses that time to set up a booth on the east side of the city. And he sits under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. The city is mentioned 3 times in this verse. Jonah is sitting there outside the city watching. Jonah does not believe that the Ninevites' repentance is going to last very long. And he's expectantly hopeful that God will judge the city. And so he sets up a booth outside the city. And it's very ironic that he sets up a booth, because this booth is reminiscent, reminds us of the Feast of Booths, the Festival of Booths, when the people of God formed these little huts for themselves, little booths to remind them of their time in the wilderness. And as a reminder of the covenant faithfulness of God every time the people of God live in these little booths. But Jonah's not thinking about the covenant history of his dealings with his people. He's thinking about judgment on the Ninevites. And he creates this little structure. And the whole irony of this is that this structure that Jonah creates is inadequate to deal with the Assyrian sun. Some people have written that the average daily temperature in Mesopotamia is 110 degrees. Average daily temperature. You know that it's spiked higher. 110 degrees. And he has this little hut, which has parts of it that will quickly wither. In other words, Jonah is in need of God's provision to be shaded in this hut, because it's not going to last very long. When I was growing up, I would go onto the lake at a time when the lake completely froze over. It froze over so much that you could drive trucks on it. But what people would do is they would ice fish. So they would create these little structures, and they would sit inside of them, and they would put a line down into the water to catch the fish way below in the ice. But it's freezing cold in Wisconsin. There's incredible winds. This is a very small structure. It's not going to keep you very warm unless you have a snowsuit on and lots of gloves. Jonah's structure is kind of like that, only the temperature is the opposite. It's so incredibly hot and oppressive that this structure itself is going to start to wither away. So God provides for him. And God provides for him in his wisdom to help Jonah see how what Nineveh did was inadequate too. And God was merciful and gracious to Nineveh because their repentance was not enough to justify his grace. He was merciful to them because he was merciful to them, because God was compassionate and gracious to Nineveh. And he wants Jonah to see the same thing. So he provides for Jonah. He provides through this climbing plant called a gourd that comes up over Jonah, and this plant continues to climb so that it provides a shadow over his head. Remember we were singing about the Lord being our shade? Here's a physical demonstration for Jonah. He has a physical demonstration of the Lord's ability to provide shade for him under the hot sun. And Jonah looks at this. He's underneath this shade. He's in this hut. And he begins to think to himself, God is being gracious to me. He's showing favor to me. And he begins to get incredibly happy about it. In fact, it's the first time in the book of Jonah that we read about Jonah being happy. But he's not just simply happy. The verse tells us he was exceeding glad. The same language that was used of his displeasure at the beginning of the chapter, when God was gracious to Nineveh. He is just as happy about this gourd, this shade over his head, from this plant that God provided, as he was angry and displeased that God was gracious to the Ninevites. And here's where the object lesson comes in. Because God has designed this lesson to show Jonah the difference between grace and God's provision and when it's taken away, that he might see what it would be like for the Ninevites if God withdrew his hand and allowed them to deal with the consequences of their sin. So Jonah is going to experience this object lesson from God. God is reaching him, and he does it by means of this gourd. Now, he's not destroying a human life here. He's going to do this object lesson by means of a gourd. And he sends a worm so that Jonah might see this short-lived grace taken away. That Jonah might see the source of his happiness taken away. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd that it withered. My shade is gone. I am again under the hot Assyrian sun. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. This kind of a wind is famous. It is the kind of wind that can blow up to 60 miles an hour. It's the kind of wind that saps all the humidity out of the air. And it's just a dry, pressing wind that presses on people until it has effects on them, creating depression and seizures and things like that to people. Sunstroke was very, very close for Jonah because of this wind. God prepared this wind in order to show what it was like to be under the heat of God's judgment. But he did not do it in a way that brought about death to Jonah. He's not taking Jonah's life. He's showing him an object lesson with nature, with the gourd that he provided to provide shade, and now the worm that ate the plant so that it withered, and the east wind that brought about the heat of the sun bearing upon Jonah. Jonah is now wishing to die. What we see is the connection between Jonah's over-the-top gladness over the gourd and now his desire to die is that Jonah is particularly focused upon himself. Jonah, who was very displeased that the Ninevites received God's grace, is very excited about this gourd because it provided shade for him over his head. It protected him from the heat. He began to see it as a sign of God's favor. But then when that favor was taken away, when he was under the hot sun and the wind was beating down on him, Jonah became faint. And Jonah wished that he would die. And he has said this before. Jonah said in verse 3, "Take, I beseech thee, my life from me." He said that to the Lord. "For it is better for me to die than to live." Now Jonah's in this situation where the wind is beating, oppressing him, and he's under this hot sun. And he says, actually, "It is better for me to die than to live." The first time, Jonah had a theological problem. God had been gracious to the Ninevites. He had permitted them to turn from their sins. Perhaps he could even hear their voices from that hut. But now, Jonah's theological problem is set aside because he is now consumed, utterly consumed, with his own concern. Jonah wants to die because he is experiencing the removal of God's gracious hand. What Jonah needed in order for that hut to provide shelter for him was the gourd. He needed the gourd in order to have the shade over his head, and God had to provide that. Jonah didn't do anything to provide that. And now that God has shown him an object lesson of what it's like to be under his disfavor, to be one who experiences the heat of his removal of his mercy, he wants to die. And God discerns what's going on in his heart. He's already spoken to him in verse 4 about being angry. Now he says, "Doest thou well to be angry again?" It's the same question, only it's focused now. Angry for the gourd. Jonah's anger is now focused on this plant that was providing shade for him. He has collapsed all of his anger. He's no longer even clear about anger towards God. He's angry because he doesn't have this plant anymore to provide shade for him. Utterly self-focused. He's dying spiritually. He's not only suffering under the hot sun, he's dying spiritually. He's experiencing the severe, devastating effects of self-pity. Self-pity is consuming Jonah. It's making him want to die. And self-pity is like that. We need to understand. So the Lord talks to him all about the difference between his self-pity and the kind of pity or compassion that the Lord has. When pity is used in the Lord's way, he's speaking of his compassion on the things that he has made, the people that he has made. And he's even going to mention the cows. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. You were consumed with this plant that provided you shade. But did you plant this gourd? Did you cause it to grow? Did you provide in any way for it? And in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ talks to us about the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. And he shows us our value in light of the grass of the field. In other words, this gourd was designed to show Jonah the grace of God, that he might go further, that he might understand God's grace better, that he might pierce beyond with his prophetic mind, his mind trained by the covenant graces of God. He knows his character. He's already learned about it. He tells us at the beginning of chapter 4, I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. I know that you are gracious. And God has demonstrated it to Jonah. This gourd grew up to provide shade for him. But you see, Jonah got so consumed with the gift of God's grace, and he latched onto it, desiring to cling to it, and he forgot about the giver. Because Jonah, you see, was consumed with his own needs. He was consumed with his own life at the expense of the Ninevites, and even to the point where he found himself to be justified being angry with God because he was gracious. Well, what about the gourd, Jonah? Do you not understand? You did nothing to give this gourd life. It provided shade for you, but I provided for you. And when I took it away, it's so that you would see the difference. It grew up in a night and it perished in a night. That's what you're focused on. And what am I focused on? I'm focused on these people made in my image in the city of Nineveh. And I'm focused on the cattle. There's a little bit of a demonstration of the hierarchy of beings in this world. The plant is less important than the cattle because God includes the cattle in his state. This is an overflow of God's grace. It's a demonstration of his character, and he's free to demonstrate it that way. But Jonah cannot see it, cannot value it, because he is consumed with himself. He's consumed with self-pity. And everything that he relies upon has been provided by God's grace. And so this object lesson is for a point. If you had that much concern, that much pity for this shade on your head provided by this gourd, shall I not use my compassion and extend it to people made in my image, even though they are rebellious, bloodthirsty, wicked sinners, whose repentance, by the way, is not enough to justify my mercy? But shall I not show them pity? Because I am God, and because they need my pity. They need my compassion. They need it demonstrated to them. In fact, he goes on to say, there are 64,000 persons in this place. Now, a score is 20, 6 times 20 is 120. 120,000 people. 120,000. And those people, 120,000 of them, cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand. They do not understand spiritual things. They have had a multitude of gods. They don't even know what it would take to bring about repentance that God would receive. They did what they knew they should do. They had a conscience. They understood that they were doing wrong, but they cannot discern spiritual things. They are in need of my mercy. They are in need of my compassion. They're in need of my grace. If they're going to receive life rather than judgment, it's by my hand. But Jonah, you see, has wanted them to receive Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why he was waiting outside the city. And God says, should not I spare Nineveh? And he mentions the cow. It's a question. Which is more important? 120,000 people and their cows, or this gourd over your head? The gourd or the souls? Which one? Well, it's a question that has an obvious answer. The souls. The people made in God's image. But don't miss the fact that God is comparing his pity, his compassion to Jonah's. And what's different about the two is the focus. Jonah is concerned about that which provides for him, that which protects him and shades him. Jonah is concerned about that which benefits him. That's what makes him exceedingly happy. That's what makes him overjoyed. And God, in his compassion, is concerned about those people who are made in his image. And yes, he knows that they are evil. In fact, that's why he sent Jonah in the first place. Their evil has come up before him. They are evil people. And their repentance is not enough to justify his mercy. He is merciful to them because he is a merciful God. The Lord Jesus Christ comes. He begins to unpack for us the character of God. He begins to show us from the pattern of everyday life that we are those who benefit from God's great kindness and mercy. Jesus says, consider the flowers of the field. And consider how your Heavenly Father provides for them and how he provides for you. Consider the birds. And consider them in order to understand how your Heavenly Father is gracious to them and is much more gracious to you. God is merciful and kind and gracious every single day, even to people who rebel against him, even to cattle, to cows. They're provided for by the grace of God. The same one who's able to make a gourd grow quickly and then cause it to wither. Who's able to send a mighty, scorching east wind. Sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about being overcome with something unto death, what was it? Was it anger? I'm so angry I could die? No, it wasn't anger. It was sorrow. It was sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm sorrowful unto death. Why is he at that point? Why is the Lord Jesus Christ sorrowful unto death when Jonah is angry about a gourd? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ came to demonstrate the mercy of God. And when the Lord Jesus Christ looks at Jerusalem, in the Gospel of Matthew, he laments. And I want you to think about this. God sends rain on the just and the unjust. But in the body of Jesus Christ, the physical body of Jesus Christ, there were tear ducts, and tears were formed. Water streaming down the face of the Lord Jesus Christ because of his mercy, his compassion towards those who rejected him. If the compassion of God is demonstrated in that way to people who are rejecting him, how much more to those for whom Christ died? How much more have you benefited from God's compassion and mercy? How much more do you know God's mercy? You have every day the privileges that the birds and the flowers have, and more, much more. But you have much more than that. You know the mercy of God demonstrated in Jesus Christ. You know how God is demonstrating his compassion. And in a way that is more clear than the revelation that the Ninevites had, you understand God's mercy and compassion. It is presented to you as a means by which you have spiritual life. And that is how you are delivered from self-pity. That is how you are delivered into the kind of focus on other people that characterizes the living God. That is how you, and only you, who know the mercy of God, can answer the last question of this book. Because if you think about the last question of this book, if you're not prepared to say yes, then it's a demonstration that you don't understand God's mercy. Think about this. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? If you are so concerned about this gourd, shall I not be concerned about that which I preserve, the life of these 120,000 people? We sang in the psalm, "Thou preservest man and beast." And he does. Yes. Yes, you have a right to be merciful to them. Yes, you have a right to preserve them. Yes, they can be preserved from your judgment if you choose. Yes, you have demonstrated your mercy in Jesus Christ. Yes, you have demonstrated your mercy to me. Yes, I am shepherded every day by your mercy. Yes, I live because of your mercy. John Calvin, at the end of his life, had over 40 illnesses in his body. They had to carry him up to the pulpit. He could barely get the words out because of how his lungs were working. And his last statement concerned God's mercy to him as a sinner. So many sermons written down, so many commentaries, so many letters, so much influence on the history of the church, and God is merciful to me, a sinner. It's that basic. God has been merciful to you. When we focus on ourselves, we demand of God, we're consumed with anger, our priorities are wrong, and we follow the path of Jonah. But if you can answer the final question of this book with a yes, then you have begun the path of those who taste and know God's mercy. The path that culminated in the life of John Calvin, that culminates in the life of people that you know dearly. People who live each day in light of the mercy of God given in Jesus Christ. Have you ever looked at someone and said, I don't know how they keep going after everything that they've been through? And then you talk to them and they say, God has been merciful to me. That's someone who can say yes to the final question of this book. Those who can't say yes, are simply quiet.